Well, as you know, pastor's away for a week, and when he mentioned it to me, the first thought I had was I remembered that Mary Jo had shared with me that the Lord was giving her some words to share. And I guess over the past month or so, I'm assuming he's been giving her something. And so I prayed about it, and the Lord said, as far as I was concerned, that it was okay to ask her and that it was time for her to share it. Now, Mary Jo, as you know, is my sister in Christ, even though we're not sisters by blood, we're definitely sisters in the Lord.
Amen.
And we have been walking with the Lord since 92.
Yes.
And she is actually the one who precipitated all of it for me, because she was going to a church in Springfield that had services on Friday nights. And they were considered healing services. And she came home from the first one that she had gone to, and she was just on fire. She was higher than anything. And she said, "Peggy, you just have to go. It is just so awesome. It is so awesome." So I thought, well, I don't know. You know, at that time I was going through some things in my personal life, and I had children, so I, you know, there was babysitters and this and that, and all kinds of excuses, and I guess it wasn't time for me to go yet. But after a couple of times of her coming home and sharing all of it with me, I said, well, I'm going to give it a try. So I went, and when I left, I said to myself, what is she talking about? This, I don't get any of it. It just, I wasn't, you know, the pastor was up and he's speaking words over people, and, you know, people are falling down and everybody's hands are raised, and I come from a Catholic background, so I was not used to all of that. And as the pastor would say, the rest is history. We have become wonderful friends. She's definitely a sister to me. Okay, I don't want to go there. But anyways, I do want to say that she comes to the house of prayer out of a tragic, tragic in my mind, situation that happened to her, because she chose, after a few years, to go and be part of another church. So we didn't quite see each other as much as we would like to, but we were still in the same book. and this occurrence then brought her here. And we do say that all things work to good to those who are in Christ. And I believe that she was meant to be here, learning new things, sharing new experiences, crying. And I know that she's, without knowing, I know she has an awesome word to share with us. Now, Bob, is there anything you'd like to add?
Peggy, that was...
Because you've known Mary Jo almost as long as I have.
I know one thing she can do extraordinarily well. And frankly, she does a lot of things well, but I think she talks as well as anybody.
Yeah, she's anointed for that.
Well, a lot of us have trouble just keeping the conversation with people. Mary Jo, here's the phone in our house. This is Peggy. Uh-huh.
Yep. I have a reason for that. I've got to share it, too.
And I know she's on the phone with Mary Jo. More than that, you know, the Lord wants us to walk the walk. And I was thinking before, Pastor Kim has an endless number of stories, doesn't he, about himself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in second place is Mary Jo Gesnola. We're glad you're here.
Amen.
Oh.
So I pray that we all have ears to hear and a heart
to
open to receive. Thank you.
Okay.
wonderful job.
All right, before I explain why I can talk so well, I'm going to pray. Lord, I praise you and I honor you and I worship you. I thank you for this opportunity to share what I believe you've put in my heart that you want your people to know. I consider this an honor and a privilege to stand before them, and I thank you that you're going to use my mouth. I pray for more of you and less of me, all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The reason I think I talk so well is because, or not so well, that's not the right, so much, is because, and this is really is not my message, but I feel the Lord is leading me this way. I was in a very abusive marriage for 12 years. It was alcoholic-based. It was drug-based. And it didn't start out that way. He was a wonderful person, a great father. He was a good husband. He got hurt at work. I could go on and on. And our roles reversed. He then became what I was, and I had to go to work and become what he was. He was Italian, the breadwinner, and that all of that hurt the ego, and it destroyed our marriage. He started drinking, he started drugging, abuse came verbally, emotionally, and physically. And it got to the point that there was no communication, to the point that I lived in constant fear that he was going to come up from behind, or that I was going to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. I really put too much blame on myself. It was Al-Anon and meeting people like Peggy that helped bring me to realize that it was not my fault. But I had many, many years of dark, dark. So anyway, I said all that to say, when I was finally by myself and I got beyond the abuse and the abandonment, and that took a long time, and I'm not even saying that I'm totally over it. It was such a privilege and an honor, and it was just so great to be able to talk to people and not feel that I was going to be judged, or I was going to say the wrong thing, or that I was going to be condemned for what I said. So I lived by myself. I've been alone for a long, long time as far as a physical. I'm never alone. I know God is with me. God has brought me a long, long, long way. And so when I have an opportunity to talk, which is, I say, not all that often because I'm by myself, I talk a lot through the house. I mean, my grandchildren are downstairs. My daughter lives downstairs. So I said that to say that when I do get to talk to Peggy, it's like, woohoo, here we go. I can now talk. And that's exactly what I do. But I did, now see, I lost track of my train of my thought. What, the Lord has been working with me for about 6 months on many different things. My thoughts, the things that are in my heart, the things that tend to come out of your mouth because they're in your heart, because they start as a thought. And I really believe that he has been working with me about renewing my mind and restoration and not being the victim, because I think I thought I was the victim for many, many years. And so over the last few months, he's really has been working with me with scriptures. And so the other day I said to him, shortly after Peggy asked me if I would give the word, I said, okay, Lord, now which is it you want me to do? The thoughts, the word? And I really wasn't getting an answer. And one morning I woke up and he said, just as clear as day, he said, my church needs to celebrate their victories and put the past in the past. And they need to be positive and keep the focus on the good. Now, up until this morning, I didn't have an acronym for focus. I now do. He gave me one this morning. And what he gave me was for focus is freely operate with confidence, understanding, and stability. And so all of us have things that we don't like in our lives. We all have situations we don't like. We all have problems. And it depends upon where our focus is that we tend to put our thinking. One of the exercises that the Lord has helped me for myself is that I have started to set my alarm clock 10 minutes earlier in the morning. And I lay in bed for those 10 minutes because I'm one that gets up and we have the routine, you know. And so for me to change that is a big step for me. So I lay in bed for about 10 minutes and I think of good things. I think of things that I need to be thankful for. I think of ways that I can maybe bless someone through the day. Sometimes I just sit there, or lay there, I should say, and just thank him. So that by the time my feet hit the ground, I'm a little more positive, and I have the right attitude and thank you, and thoughts, and I can start my day. And then from then on, I really do. I talk to the Lord all day long. I believe, as a follower and as a Christian, that we all have a responsibility to do certain things, and then we need to cast our care. We need to give the rest to God. We need to do the very best that we can do with what he's given us. And Ephesians 6:13 says, when all else has failed and you've stood through the crisis, just continue to stand and take your position. And our position is either a son or a daughter in the Most High God. So, okay, for me, I need to be on top of everything. I need to be in control. I can't, which is one of the reasons why I don't think I do well with directions, because where I don't know where I'm going, I get all flustered because I'm not in that control. So, and I think a lot of that is my background. That I had to know when things were happening and I have to be in control. So I think a lot of people cast the care, but they keep the worry. I don't think we as Christians do our responsibility first. I think a lot of Christians use the excuse, and I believe it's an excuse, God's got this. God will do it. I'm just waiting on God. I'm just praying and waiting on God. And I don't necessarily know that that's exactly what they're doing. I think they choose to maybe not do their responsibility. And it's easier to say, oh, God's got this. I'm just waiting on God. We do have a responsibility. We are God's ears and eyes and hands and feet on this world, in this world. He left us here to do his work. So we do have a responsibility. But when we've done all we can do and we can't do any more, then we have to stand and then we have to give him the rest of it and he will take it from there. And while he's doing it, it's okay that we enjoy our life, that we celebrate our life. It might appear that nothing's happening, but he is working. He's doing something. But we have to trust and believe that he's doing what he needs to do the way he needs to do it, and we just need to let it go. And it's the letting go, at least for me, with some things that's very hard. I'd like to read to you Ephesians 6:13 from the Message Bible because it's awesome. I do like the Message Bible. When I get to the point that I just need something simple, I many times turn to the Message Bible. And this is what it says in Ephesians 6. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters, and keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. And so I do think, as I say, that we need to do our end of the responsibility, and then we need to give it to them and just not take it back. And as I say, for me, that's the hard. The next scripture that the Lord has given me is Hebrews 12:2, which says, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scourging its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Which is another part of keeping your focus and being positive and learning to celebrate, is to keep your eyes on Jesus. And that's what helps. That's what I'm talking about in the morning. I try to get my eyes on Jesus so that I will then walk in the Spirit through the day and not detour. Do I detour? Of course I do. But you know and I know that the Holy Spirit is only going to lead us into holiness. God has a plan for us that's awesome. It's a plan of abundance, just as much as Satan has a plan for us. John 10:10 says that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and that's exactly what he does when we take our eyes off of Jesus and don't continue to walk in the Spirit. And it's very easy to do. The older I get, I think that at times, for me again, it's easier for me at times, as I was coming up in the Lord, to fall back and go back to what I used to do rather than it was to hang on and to follow Jesus. The older I get, I do find that that is in the reverse. But Satan really has a playground with us at many times, because it just seems easy sometimes to fall back. And so to keep our eyes on Jesus and keep them fixed is something that has to be done every second of every day in every situation. When I was in this abusive marriage, I was angry, I was mean, I was hatred, I hated people, I hated situations, I hated my life. I could easily, with my words, destroy somebody in a heartbeat. And all it was showing was the reason was because I was destroyed inside and I was a zero. I could have gone up one side of you and down the other and walked away, not even given it another thought as to what I had just done to someone, which again is what words are, what words can do to you, and not keeping the focus. I didn't have a focus. My focus was zero. I didn't have a focus till I accepted the Lord and he came into my life. So it's a constant daily walk that we have to do. Every time I go to open my mouth, I have to check to make sure that my motive is correct, that what I'm saying is not going to damage, it's going to encourage. And there are many times I just have to keep my mouth shut because I'm not going to say the right thing, or my attitude isn't right, or my motive isn't right, or so it's easier for me to keep my mouth shut. And that's a test for me to keep my mouth shut. But we need to learn to celebrate all our small victories, all the little things in life, like we have a job. You don't like your job? There are many people that would love to take your job. The fact that you have a job is a celebration. The fact that you got up in the morning and took a step and took a breath is a celebration. All the small little things, if we celebrate, will lift us and will bring our attitude up to where it needs to be so that our daily walk is focused and our daily walk really kind of celebrates. People should look at us. We should be their Bible. People should look at us and say, boy, this person's got something and I want this. And the only way you can do that is to celebrate the little things. God loves a celebration. The first celebration he ever did was the wine, and it was at a wedding. You can't get more of a celebration than to be at a wedding, but it's the little things. Sometimes a woman needs to go and have her nails done or a pedicure or a massage or something to keep the spirits up, to keep lifted. And it's okay that we do something for ourselves. It's okay to be good to us. We need to celebrate who we are as people. We need to celebrate what God has done inside of us, what God has done for us, what God is doing to us. We are wonderfully and fearfully made. God made us for a wonderful, wonderful plan. And if we walk it and we stay in the spirit in a daily way, we can celebrate all the little things. You know, sometimes husbands and wives complain about their spouse. Well, they're this, they're that, they're... But I'm sure that there are somebody that might be willing to take them off your hands and to sit across a table with them and have a meal with them because they don't have anybody. So there's good in everything that we have, and there's good in everything that we can do, that we do. We just need to celebrate, and we need to be thankful for everything that we have. And I could go on. But I don't want to. Quickly, this is really what I wanted to share with you. Oh, that was all introduction. It's a parable of the lost son in Luke 15, starting at chapter 11. There are many lessons in this passage, but the one that the Lord showed me, and I'll paraphrase, I won't read each line. The younger son, along with the elder son, asked the dad for their inheritance. Now, the father gave it both to them equally. I think back then, if I remember correctly in my reading, the elder son got 2/3, the youngest son got 1/3. But whatever, they had a ton of money. They could have done whatever they wanted to do. The elder son chose to stay home with his dad. The younger son decided to go off into the world and do his thing. So the father gave it to him, and he went off, and he was with prostitutes, he drank, he partied, he blew all the money, and then had to get a job because they didn't have any money, and they didn't want to go back to his father. So he got a job with a pig farmer, and he ended up eating what he was serving these pigs. Finally, he came to himself, which I love that phrase, came to himself, and decided he was going to go back home. So he went back home, and his father saw him from afar and saw him coming and said, "My son was lost, and now he's found." And he ran to him. The first thing he did was he called for a celebration, called for a party, gave him a robe, gave him a ring, gave him sandals. Never once threw in his face, "Look at what you've done. You blew all the money. I don't know that I can trust you anymore." None of that. He focused on the fact that God had brought his son back to him and threw a celebration. Now, in the very beginning, when the younger son asked for his inheritance, it was gimme, 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 gimme. And we as immature Christians, when we first start walking with the Lord, that's what we do. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I need, I want, please do this, give me this. But as we mature and come full circle, we then ask the Lord to make us what he wants us to be. And makes us servants, because the greatest call is a servant. There's nothing greater than to be a servant. So they had this celebration. They had the best fatted calf. He invited all these people. He made this son the focus of this celebration. Now, of course, the elder son copped a little bit of an attitude. His nose was bent out of shape and very angry. And he said to his father, "I've been with you all these years. You didn't kill a calf for me. You didn't give me a ring. You didn't give me a robe. You didn't give me a celebration. You're doing nothing for me." And the dad turned to the older son and said, "Son, you've been with me all this time. You could have had a celebration any time you wanted it. Let's just celebrate the fact that your brother is back. Please come in to the party. And the elder son refused. Well, the party didn't stop. He still had the party. And we still celebrated. Or they still celebrated. The Bible is full of celebrations. We're about to go into some celebrations in this church in the next few weeks. God loves a celebration. And he wants us to celebrate of the good stuff. All our small little victories. And not dwell on our mistakes and discouragement and things that we've done in the past. And in closing, I just want to say that the very first celebration that the Lord had was 6 days of creation. And at the end, he sat there and said, "This is good." And he took the next day off. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, for focus?
Freely operate with confidence, understanding, and stability.
Just like to celebrate what the Lord has done through Mary Jo. And I don't know, is there any discussion? Does anybody want to share anything about what they've heard, anything that they've learned? Well, if not, I will just pray that you all celebrate each other, go forward in love today as you go through the rest of your day and the rest of your week. I will remind you that our next celebration is Yom Kippur.
Come on.
Yom Kippur on September 13th. We'll be here at 7 o'clock. Yom Kippur is a Day of Atonement. And for those that were here as we celebrated the New Year, I'm going to take this off because New Year is 5774. It was just an awesome time in the Lord. And I can't, you'd have to be here to know. So amen. I pray that you all put it on your hearts. And if you're supposed to be here on the 13th, we will welcome you. And please enjoy our next celebration, which is being prepared right now. And we bless the food and we make it holy. To our bodies, and bless those who prepared it as well.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.